when we find ourselves being the kind of people that we should be, we know the merit and the benefit of having taught our young people as they grow up. And in 1 Peter, in reference to this matter, he tells us that we are all people to put away certain things from our lives. And we want to teach our children to lay aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Notice that in this regard, we are to be people who follow God's word as newborn babes. We become early Christians in our lives. We encourage our young people to do this because we're to be people in our youth that serve the cause of God. As early back as the writing of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, he'll tell us in chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, talking about years of life and age comes in life and disappointment comes in life and all these other things that get our control, get our ideas, family as well as friends, as well as other things. And he says, be this kind of person. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, the years draw nigh, and you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. The idea of being a young person and being a person who becomes a servant of God was the idea of Timothy, as his mother and grandmother so taught him, and that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise to salvation. How did he come to know those Holy Scriptures? We read in reference to his family. We read in reference to his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and how that they taught him and how they prepared him. And when Paul came along in his travels and journey along the way, and there was Lystra, he met this family and he met a young man who was willing to listen to the things being taught and see the fulfillment of those things that were taught, and he wanted to obey the Lord. And thus Timothy became a servant of God as a young man. He understood because he had been taught that by way of his mother and grandmother. There may just be one in a family that is faithful to God in his way, but that one does an immeasurable work because of the encouragement that is given to the children of a family to be faithful to God from youth up, because this is the idea of God's word and God's will for our lives. The Bible tells us a lot of times to put away certain things. Put away, he says, laying aside all, in 1 Peter 2:2, all malice and all guile. Angry situations that get our control, that get us thinking that we're right beyond any reason, and that we can justify it, and we can talk down most anybody, and therefore we are to do that. Instead of doing that way of life, we're to be as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. That sincere, basic teaching of God's word, we're to be people like that. As we grow up in the ways of the Lord, we realize something else. We go back to the book of Hebrews, just a few pages back, and we get to Hebrews in chapter 5, and we read in reference to this situation for young people and older people alike. For when for the time, verse 12, Hebrews 5, verse 12, for when for the time has come that you ought to be teachers, instructors, teaching other people, showing them the word of God, showing them what God's word truly says on each subject, And instead of becoming a person who is in an argument with them, just simply ask a question over things that are said. Where is that prayer that you're taught to pray for salvation found in the New Testament of our Bible? And of course, along the way, we would note that that's not there. There's not a word of prayer that's said for salvation. The salvation part by prayer is over in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 4, and beginning verse 1 in reference to the way of life that we're to live as people like that. We're to be people in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and we're to be people who tell the Lord, we confess our sin and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But this is for people who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son in that very chapter. And so we're people who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and we realize that vanity that we're doing in life, and so we confess it to God and we're forgiven by it. And as a result, we get in right relationship with God again. When we find ourselves doing that, we find ourselves becoming a teacher of God's Word to others and instructing others along the way as they come into contact with us. And he says, for you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Notice that there's to go back to the beginning. Go back to the time of the simple word of God that you were to desire as a young person. And go back to that. He says, if you ought to be a teacher and you don't have the time has come that you ought to be teachers, but you're not, you have need that one teach you again the oracles of the first principles of God. Notice that he says that there are principles that lead on to a time when it becomes meat in God's word, not milk. And he says regarding this matter, that you become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But though even those who by reason of use have their exercises, their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're to be people who grow in the ways of the Bible, the teaching of the word of God. And notice that it is the word of righteousness, he says, in verse 13 of Hebrews 5. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've gone through life, they see it, they hear it, they know that that's not the way to go. That's not the way for them to be going as they tell us the things that they do. But along the way, we can point out to them that I knew when you were telling me those kind of things and showing me those kind of things in life, that that was not the best way to go. And I turned it down, not on the basis of being an enemy to you, not on the basis of despising you, not on the basis of being better than you, but on the basis of God's word, which is the word of right doing, righteousness. And as a result of that, I wanted to practice that way of life instead of going on and practicing this other way of life that were encouraging me to follow. And so I want to be a person who serves the cause of God. And that way I'll put away certain things in my life. And he notes in regard to this matter, you continue along in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse number 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is to them that end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, and who have fled for refuge and lay hold upon the hope set before us. We need to have our young people to be taught not only the fundamentals of the faith, and not only to grow in the sense of becoming a teacher of God's word to others, and as a result of teaching them and showing them what God's word actually says about a subject, salvation, worship, the ways of life from day to day. You will have a way in which you find yourself going with the immutable truth that God cannot lie, that what He's promised, He's going to fulfill, and lay hold upon this refuge that you have laid hold upon that will lead you to eternal life. And realize that you can't be a person who has all the answers. You can't be the person who wants to say, "I have all the answers." You can't be a person who defies others by way of always being someone who can't be taught by anybody else anything, but rather a person who goes with the ways of God, who compares what's taught to what the Scripture does say, and who asks them to do the same. Let's go by what God's Word says, because it's the Word that contains the right things of righteousness in our lives. The right things are taught to us to do and practice in life. And if we do that, we'll find ourselves blessed of God. So in regard to young people's lives growing up, we remind ourselves that as we grow older. As we find ourselves in a lesson like this, we begin to reflect upon our days gone by. And in our days gone by, do we have the kind of guidance from mom, from dad, from grandma, grandpa, that guided us toward looking to the Word of God, the Bible, to really see if we are being what God would have us to be? And if that is not the case in life as I get older, and I begin to realize, though, I'm not that kind of person. I don't seek out righteousness, everything that I ask a question about. I don't seek the right thing to do, the right way to talk, the right way to act. In a given situation, I don't find myself doing that way. Then what should I do? Should I not go back and, as he says here, be a person who watches for those things? For when the time is come that you ought to be teachers, you have neither one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We find ourselves still being in that time in which milk and babe and youth are really apart. A person may be 60 years of age in life and may look to where I am and what I'm living, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm a part of, what I'm enamored by. And this is not right. It's not of God. It's not going to bring about a great reward. I want to be what God would have me to be, and thus they come back to this righteousness of the Word of God. They begin to see once again what it says there regarding people of the Bible and circumstances that were made right when Abraham was made right before God by the teaching of God that he accepted. As he accepted that and practiced that, he was made right before the ways of God. That's the way that we want to be and do. And as a result of that, if we find ourselves not at that day and time, then we want to make changes in our lives. We want to perhaps have the prayers of all others round about us, that we need to be people who are earnest in that way of doing. When we have that kind of strength that's offered to us by others as well as by ourselves, we find ourselves being the key people who will become effective teachers to others as we meet them and see them from time to time. Don't believe the word teacher there is used in reference to the idea of a formal class. That's a special kind of training that's being done, a special kind of situation that occurs within the body of Christ. And there's a need for there to be a real advanced knowledge in that regard and usefulness of the techniques of teaching. And there's an awful lot to it. But in regard to teaching others in, as we go along in life, as we see others and meet others, let's learn the better techniques of doing that. When we raise questions to people like Jesus did, we get them to think about it and study about it a whole lot more. When Jesus said there in Matthew 22 and 23, in reference to John's baptism, whence was it? He was talking to those who were resisting him and rejecting him. And he said, John's baptism, whence was it? Was it from heaven? Question mark. Was it of man? Question mark. He used questions there to ask them, which prompted them to move off to the side and talk to one another about the questions that he asked. And when they did, they began to talk to one another about this, and they began to reason. If we say that this came from heaven, he'll ask us, why did you not submit to it? If you knew this message from John came from heaven, and this teaching about baptism, being prepared to follow the Christ, was from the Word of God, why did you not accept it? And we won't have an answer for that. On the other hand, if we say John was not a prophet, we fear the people, because they knew how they've been teaching the people. They've been teaching the people to have the anger, the guile, the wrath, the fussing and the fighting to do this, and to do this in a mighty way. They would do that even to Jesus. And thus the people would jump on them, they feared, for saying that John was not a prophet, that he was just an ordinary man. What the message came from John, would it come from heaven, or was it from men, just men? And they didn't want to answer. So they came back to Jesus saying, we cannot tell you. We really can't give you an answer to the question that you posed. And Jesus let that question settle in their minds. I hope a lot of them made changes as the day of Pentecost came about and they realized where they were. I hope they were part of that 3,000 on that day. Because at that particular time, they had had enough time to realize where they were and what they had done. And he left it with them when he said, neither do I tell you. You can't answer me. Neither do I answer you about the question that you asked me. Of course, the question they asked him was, by what authority do you cast out of the temple those that are money changers and so forth and so on? By what authority do you do this? And Jesus said, tell me by what authority was John's baptism. Was it from heaven or was it of man? Well, we can't tell. We can't tell. Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Well, obviously, the authority by which I do these things, Jesus was saying, is from the Father, from heaven. Just like John's baptism was from heaven. And all needed to submit to it. And that's the way of life for you and for me. What a way to do and what a way to go in life as we help our young people to grow in the faith, grow in teaching, and grow in analysis of where they are as they get older. Never too old when we have our heart and mind with us to think about where we are and to repent before God. Wonderful it is. There's no age that I read there in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not that matter. So let us all be people who love the Lord enough to do his will and be his person as we do in life. The song invitation provided tonight, let's apply it to our hearts and lives as we stand together and as we sing together.
Hear the soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Giving your heart the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh,
Just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Heavenly Father, again we come before you thanking you for this day, a day in which we have been able to gather together to worship you. We pray in spirit and in truth. Thanking you, Father, for the help that we have that we can be here and mindful of those that of our brothers and sisters in Christ and our physical brothers and sisters and friends and loved ones that have that are sick. And Father, we ask you to watch over all of these and care for them in such a way, Father, that they can regain their normal walks in this life. Thank you, Father, for your Son who not only came into the world to die on the cross for our sins, Father, but taught us the things that you'd have us to know. Help us, Father, to study your word. Help us to be more like him every day in our lives. Thank you for the country in which we live, the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank you, Father, for those that protect this country. Thank you for the first responders that are working so hard during this pandemic. We ask you to bless them, Father, and help them to be saved.
Amen.
Father, we pray that things can be done and are being done that can help us to overcome this illness that debates us so bad. Father, we pray that much good can be done and much good can come out of this. Help us to be mindful of others that need more help than we do. And Father, we pray that we can help them every way that we can. Thank you for the lesson we've heard tonight. Help us to apply it to our lives, Father, that we may be able to be examples to the children. Father, help, we pray that they could someday will look to you for their guidance and for their help and for their life. Father, we ask you to go with us through this week. Help us to accomplish the things that we set forth. And Father, we pray that you keep us safe as we do so.
Amen.
Watch over and care for us now as we go to our homes. And Father, forgive us of our sins. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.